improvements you could get with more chaos and more delicate handling of the soul. Speaking was one of them, which annoyed Alex. But the spirit, the essence of what was missing in a person, seemed to be something Constantine hadn't been able to define or recreate. Despite Master Joseph's insistence that they'd been close to a breakthrough, Cole didn't see anything in the list of experiments that actually indicated this. What Constantine had actually done was to push his own existing soul into someone else's body. That was impressive magic. And it had saved Constantine's life. But it wasn't bringing back the dead. That night, at dinner, both Jasper and Tamara appeared worked up in a way that puzzled Cole. They seemed to be buzzing with a weird energy, and Tamara kept shooting significant looks over to Cole, gesturing over the homemade pasta. He had no idea what she was trying to communicate. He thought of Anastasia's claim that Tamara had a crush on him. When Celia had liked him, she had done lots of confusing and inexplicable things. Maybe Anastasia was right. But that still didn't explain what Tamara wanted him to do. "We made progress today." Alex lied. He gazed at Master Joseph as if hoping for approval. Master Joseph just looked at Cole.
"Don't force it," he said. "Relax. The ability is there."
Cole stared at Tamara. She was miming something to do with a cat. "Cat?" He mouthed at her, and she nodded. Then mimed brushing her hair. Cole was flummoxed. There was a cat in the house, and she wanted him to brush it? Cole liked cats, but Havoc regarded them as more of a delicacy. No cat would sit still to be brushed around a giant, chaos-ridden wolf. What was Tamara thinking? Unless it was a chaos-ridden cat. Had Tamara found a chaos-ridden cat?
"I really think we could make some advances," Alex went on. "Change the way magic is done."
He glanced at Tamara, as if he was hoping she'd be impressed, which made Cole furious. He stopped paying attention to Tamara's gesturing and glared at Alex, wishing he could punch him. Cole was jealous. Jealous of Alex because he was the kind of boy that people liked. Cole knew Tamara hated Alex for killing Aaron, and even if that had never happened, she still wouldn't like Alex because he had made her sister cry. He knew all that. But it didn't help. Whether or not Tamara actually had a crush on Cole, it didn't matter. Cole liked her. He liked her. And he was going to have to tell her.
"So," said Jasper, noting the strained silence.
He gestured toward the sideboard.
"Anyone for that chocolate cake?"
After dinner, Jasper, still working on his plan to impress Master Joseph, asked if the older mage could show him how to create the force fields of air that barred the windows. Alex, who was an air mage, immediately offered to co-teach.
"You're not going to be able to use this information to escape, you know," Alex said with obvious pleasure. "It's very advanced stuff. Besides, even if you got out of the house, you'd never make it off the island."
"Oh, no," Jasper said. "I wasn't thinking of trying to escape."
Master Joseph gave him an indulgent smile.
"Of course not. Come along."
He led the way to one of the practice rooms. The moment they disappeared, Tamara grabbed Cole's hand.
"Come on,"
she hissed, and dragged him out of the dining room into the parlor. She shut the door and leaned against it.
"I have to tell you something,"
she said, looking around as if someone might be lurking in the shadows, spying. She was wearing another pastel dress, this one pale apricot, with a lace skirt. This was it. She was about to tell Cole she liked him. No, he should tell her first, because once she got talking, he was going to go all tongue-tied and make a fool of himself. He was going to get caught up in saying the right thing and might not be able to say anything at all. "I like you," he blurted out. "I think you're pretty, and I like you, and I always liked you, even back when you really didn't like me. You're brave and smart and great, and I think I am going to stop talking now."
"There are tunnels under the house,"
Tamara said at nearly the same time. The floor seemed to tilt under his feet. She hadn't been about to confess her feelings. In fact, she was looking at him as though he was some new species of bug that she'd never encountered before. His face heated.
"Tunnels?"
he echoed numbly.
"Jasper and I eavesdropped and heard Hugo and Master Joseph talking about them. Apparently, deliveries come in through there, and they store extra supplies there, too. They called them the catacombs."
She spoke a bit stiltedly, as though stunned by his news.
"Oh,"
said Cole, realizing belatedly what Tamara's gesturing had been about.
"You were trying to mime catacomb."
"I'm sorry," she said, "but if we're going to explore them, we have to go there now. If we're going to go, while Jasper is keeping Master Joseph distracted, we can talk later."
"I'm ready to go," said Cole, trying to act normal. "But we don't need to talk about what I said, like, ever."
Anastasia had been wrong.
Of course she'd been wrong. Tamara didn't like him. She'd never had a crush on him. He'd only believed it because he'd wanted it to be true. Tamara gave Cole a small smile and pushed past him to the center of the room. A thick Persian rug was on the floor. She started to roll it up, revealing the square of a trap door underneath. She glanced up.
"Well, come and help me."
Cole went over and knelt down by her, his leg twinging. For several minutes they wrestled with the door, trying to find a handle or a pressure point or anything that would open it. Finally, Cole bit his lip.
"Let me try something," he said.
He placed his hand on top of the door and thought hard about the chaos magic he'd been doing, the reaching through the void to try to find something. The wild, churning emptiness of the chaos element. He drew that darkness up, as if he were lifting smoke, and let it flow down out of his hand. Blackness, like ink, spilled across the trap door. It gave a twitch under Cole's hand and vanished, ripped away into the void, revealing a ladder leading downward. Tamara exhaled.
"Was that hard?"
she whispered.
"No,"
Cole said. It was true. Using chaos magic had once been difficult, but now it was becoming more and more like using any other element. He didn't know if that should scare him or not. The only problem was, he'd just eaten away a section of the floor, so if someone walked across the rug, they'd fall into a hole. But right now, broken-hearted, he wasn't sure he could bring himself to care. At least they were friends, he told himself. At least they would always be friends. They climbed down into a long, dark tunnel with stone walls. Master Rufus had always taught him that chaos was not in itself evil. It was an element, like any other, but there were plenty of places where Makars were killed at birth because chaos had so much power to destroy. It was why Anastasia had moved Constantine to America after he was born, to save his life. And look how that turned out. Tamara had lit a small flame in the palm of her hand. They were navigating by it, the orange light picking out the twists and turns of the corridors, the many rooms that led off them. most were empty. Some contained stacked crates or jars that were clearly meant to hold elementals. One held a pile of steel chains that Call recognized. Master Joseph had once used them to imprison Aaron. Tamara paused in front of one door. "In here," she said in a low voice. They stepped inside, and Call immediately saw what she'd noticed. A bow and arrow hung on one wall, and a sharp lance was propped against another. The whole room was a jumble of weird items: books, photo albums, boys' clothes, furniture, sports equipment. A cold feeling had set up house in Call's stomach. Tamara had picked up a dagger with some initials etched on it. J.M. "Jericho Madden," he said. "This must be Jericho's stuff. What's it doing down here?" she asked. Call frowned. Probably Constantine had it stored for when he brought his brother back. It must have been here for maybe 20 years, and now that Jericho's body was destroyed, it would be down here for a lot longer. Call couldn't help wondering where Aaron's stuff was. But he couldn't talk about that. It would definitely tip her off that he was considering bringing Aaron back. Aaron, who would definitely not laugh if Call told him the stupid thing he had done. Okay, Aaron hadn't been perfect. He might have laughed. Pushing all those thoughts away, Call lifted stacks of things and looked around. He found a few school books and novels, and then a small, unmarked leather notepad. Call opened it. The handwriting looked like it belonged to a teenage boy. Drawings of lizards and other kids decorated the edges of the pages. Unlike Constantine's notes, these weren't just graphs and experiments. "I am doing a special project with Master Joseph and Khan. Master Rufus gave me this book and told me to take notes on what happens, so that's what I'm going to do. So far, being the brother of the Makar means I get shuffled off wherever he goes. I am barely considered a mage in my own right anymore. Everyone only considers me his counterweight. No one wants to know how weird it is to feel his soul pulling at my own." Call held the book up with a shudder to show Tamara. "Jericho kept a diary," he told her. Tamara's eyebrows rose. She was looking at a Polaroid that she turned toward Call. It was of Anastasia with two little boys dressed in white. In the photograph, Anastasia had on a flowered dress and was sitting in the grass, unsmiling. Tamara turned it over. Someone had written the year on the back. With a sigh, since Call knew how all of this turned out, he tucked the diary into a pocket of his flannel, to be read later. "Maybe there's something here they overlooked," Tamara said. "Something they wouldn't let us have on our own, but they kept for him?" "Like a tornado phone?" Call asked, thinking of the one on Master Rufus's desk he'd used to contact his father when he'd first come to the Magisterium. "Too good to hope for," Tamara said. They searched and searched, but they didn't find anything else that seemed useful. The only thing remotely interesting was a bunch of old books about Makars from all over the world and their dubious achievements. A few of them had been called things like the Scythe of Souls, the Hooded Kestrel, Devourer of Men, the Maw, Shaper of Flesh, the Scourge of Luxembourg, and the Face Harvester. Definitely inspirations for Constantine's Enemy of Death. Several claimed to have discovered the secret of immortality, among other scary things, but obviously the books didn't actually tell you what the secrets were. Finally, Tamara sat down on a nearby chair. "We should probably go back before anyone notices we're missing," she said. Cole nodded, suddenly conscious that they were alone, and that he'd just poured out his heart to her. No Jasper around to make snide comments, or Master Joseph or Alex to stare creepily. Just him and Tamara.
"Look, Tamara," he said. "Everything I said before, it was dumb. You probably liked Aaron. You probably didn't even mean to save me instead of him. You probably have a lot of regrets."
Tamara reached out and took one of Cole's hands. He wasn't conscious of how cold he'd grown until he felt the warmth of her skin.
"I wake up in the night, sorry I didn't save Aaron."
"But Cole, I'm not sorry I saved you."
He couldn't quite draw a breath.
"You're not sorry?"
She leaned toward him. Their faces were very close together. He could see her small Fatima necklace glittering around her throat.
"I thought you knew how I felt."
"How you felt?" Cole wondered if he was doomed to repeat everything she said. She was clutching both of his hands now, nervously. Her eyes were huge and dark and fixed on him.
"Cole,"
Tamara said. And he kissed her. He wasn't sure later what prompted him or suggested to him it would be a good idea. He had no idea what instinct told him he wouldn't get slapped or, worse, informed that he was a really good friend, but Tamara just didn't feel that way about him. But neither of those things happened. Tamara made a little noise and moved to adjust into a better position. And what had been Cole pressing his mouth nervously against Tamara's became something else. Something that made it feel like his heart was exploding inside his chest. She put her hands lightly against either side of his face, and the kiss went on for so long that Cole's ears were roaring. Finally, they pulled apart. Tamara was blushing bright red, but looked pleased. And Cole felt happy. For the first time since Aaron had died, he felt happy. He'd almost forgotten what it was like.
"I just had my first kiss in a stronghold of the enemy of death in a room full of his dead brother's stuff,"
Cole thought. "Story of my life." He didn't mind, though. For the moment, he didn't mind anything.
"Let's go,"
Tamara said. Her cheeks had faded to pink. "Before anyone comes into the parlor and notices we opened the trap door." Cole disagreed. He thought they should stay and kiss some more. It was an underrated invention, or at least one he hadn't rated highly enough himself until this minute. Tamara put her hand in his, and, in a sort of daze, Cole followed her out the door and back through the catacombs, holding hands tightly. Holding hands was also surprisingly awesome. Every time they turned a corner, she squeezed his fingers and sent small bolts of lightning zipping up his arm. They had to separate when they got to the ladder that went up to the parlor. Tamara climbed up first, and Cole after, and they were distracted for a while cleaning up the room and making it look like they'd never been there. They found some boards to brace over the hole that seemed like they might hold someone's weight. They crept out of the room and up the stairs. Cole was about to see if Tamara was maybe up for more hand-holding when Jasper loomed up at them out of the shadows.
"Where have you been?" he demanded.
Cole glared. Jasper was always going on and on about romance. You'd think he'd notice when he wasn't wanted. But then Jasper had always been oblivious to his many severe personality defects.
"We explored the catacombs just like we planned," Tamara said, nodding toward where they'd come from.
At that moment, Cole remembered that Jasper and Tamara spent all day together planning things. Jealousy flared up again, even though he'd just been kissing her. After all, Jasper was Tamara's old friend, and he had somehow convinced the last girl who liked Cole to like him better. The thought was like a splash of cold water. Abruptly, he realized several things. One, kissing created a haze of stupidity that lasted for at least 10 minutes. Two, now that it had worn off, he had no idea what kissing Tamara meant. And three, he had no idea what he was supposed to do now. All of a sudden, Cole had an overwhelming urge to grab Jasper by the collar and force him to divulge all his romantical secrets. Previously, Cole had scoffed at them, but now he was ready to listen unskeptically.
"Well, I stalled as much as I could, but you better get up to our rooms before Master Joseph notices you're missing," Jasper said. Then his annoyance faded. "Did you find anything?"
Tamara nodded. They started up toward the pink room, Cole trailing behind. Sleeping in the same room made him feel weird. He recalled sleeping next to her on the cot in Alistair's car barn. That had been a little strange, but nothing like it was going to be just to share a room now. Tamara was beautiful, brave, awesome. He thought she was destined to go out with someone heroic like Aaron, or throwing herself away on a jerky aristocrat like Jasper. The idea that she liked him after all, when he had been sure she did, then was sure she didn't, still had his head reeling. He gave Jasper the side eye, thinking about jerky aristocrats, as he settled himself on his mattress on the floor. Tamara went into the bathroom and came out in purple pajamas with ruffles at the shoulders. Just looking at her made his chest ache in a new, panicky way. If there was one thing he knew about himself, it was that he could take any good thing and make a mess out of it.
"What did you find?"
Jasper asked. "Jericho's diary," Cole said. "I haven't read it yet, but maybe there's something in there." He paused, realizing that what he was hoping for in the diary wasn't anything the others were interested in. I mean, about getting to the Alkahest, or getting off this island, or the missing army.
"We should go back and see if there's something we missed," Tamara said.
Was that an invitation to more kissing? Cole couldn't be sure. He looked her way, but she was staring up at the ceiling. Jasper nodded.
"I've been sticking tight to Master Joseph, but so far the only thing I've discovered is his chili recipe. The lesson on magical force fields wasn't very informative."
Cole hadn't bothered changing his clothes for bed. He stretched out on his mattress, his head full of the kiss and all the confusion that came with it.
"Good night, Cole,"
Tamara said with a smile that seemed to have a lot of secrets in it. Jasper gave him a weird look. Cole decided that tomorrow he would demand that Jasper explain everything he knew about girls. Cole only hoped it wasn't too late. For once, his dreams weren't full of chaos.
Chapter 9. When Tamara, Jasper, and Cole woke up in the morning, the boys retreated to their own rooms to shower and change before breakfast. Cole waved at Tamara as he left, but she didn't seem to notice. After a quick shower, Cole yanked the day's selection of Constantine's clothes out of the closet with distaste. Another day, another flannel shirt. He wished he had his own stuff to wear. As he pulled his jean jacket back on, Jericho's diary fell out of the inner pocket. Cole picked it up, turning it over slowly in his hands. Constantine's brother had owned this book, had written in it. Cole had never thought of Jericho as a person, had never really thought of him at all. Even when he had stood over Jericho's preserved body in the tomb of the enemy, he had thought only about what Constantine must have felt when his brother had died. But now he was counting on Jericho's diary to give him an insight that Constantine's notes had failed to provide. A knock came on the door. There was just time for Cole to slip the book back into his pocket before Jasper stuck his head in.
"Hugo came by," he said, sauntering into Cole's room without permission. "He said Tamara and I have a free afternoon once our morning lessons are over. He's going to go somewhere with Master Joseph, and I'm going to follow them."
He looked narrowly at Cole.
"Are you listening?"
"I want to know everything you know about girls," said Cole.
"I knew you would bow to my superior knowledge of romance eventually."
Jasper appeared smug.
"How do you let a girl know you like her?" said Cole. "And if you kiss one, does that mean you're in a relationship?"
Jasper leaned back against the wall, his hand under his chin.
"That depends, my man,"
he said, squinting as if he were wearing a monocle.
"How well do you know the lady?"
"Very well," said Cole, fighting the urge to tell Jasper he looked like Mr. Peanut.
Jasper frowned.
"It's weird that you're asking me this now," he said, "given that we're stuck out here in the middle of nowhere with no girls around except
Tamara."
A look of shock dawned on his face. "You and Tamara?"
Cole bristled. "Does that seem so unlikely?"
"Yes,"
Jasper said.
"Tamara's your friend. She isn't... she doesn't feel that way about you."
"Because I'm the enemy of death?" Cole snapped. "Because I'm rotten inside and don't deserve her? Thanks, Jasper. Thanks a lot."
Jasper looked at him without speaking for a long moment. "Do you know why Celia and I broke up?"
he asked, finally. "She got tired of your face?"
"I said I was going to visit you in prison. And she said I couldn't. She said if you were the enemy of death, you were a murderer. She said I had to choose between you and her."
Cole blinked. Part of him felt hurt, even now by Celia's words, a distant, deep-down ache. The rest of him was astonished by Jasper.
"You stood up for me?"
Jasper seemed to regret saying anything.
"I don't like being told what to think."
Cole didn't want to feel grateful to Jasper, but he did. Overwhelmingly grateful.
"Thanks," he said.
Jasper waved his words away.
"Yes, yes, but the important point I'm making is that when I say that Tamara doesn't like you that way, I'm not saying it because I think you're a bad person. I just think Tamara... well, Cole, I just think she liked someone else, if you get my meaning."
"Aaron." He meant Aaron. Cole wanted to protest that Anastasia thought Tamara liked him, but he could just imagine what Jasper would say to that, that Anastasia had no idea what she was talking about at the best of times, and certainly didn't seem like an expert on love. And Tamara hadn't looked at Cole that morning, hadn't said much to him since the kissing, and she hadn't said how she felt about him, only that she thought he knew. Jasper looked thoughtful.
"And if she sucked face with you, it was probably because she didn't want to die alone and respected Celia too much to throw herself at me."
"It wasn't like that at all,"
Cole wanted to say. But I could still ask her to be my girlfriend. Right? After all, even if it was a mistake, maybe it was one she would want to repeat a couple of times.
Not unless you want to get shot down, Jasper said. But hey, there's lots of other fish in the sea. A lid for every pot, even for you.
Cole felt like punching Jasper in the face, which was confusing, because he was still feeling grateful that Jasper had gotten broken up with for his sake. Grudgingly, Cole realized that Jasper's advice wasn't going to make the weird feeling in his stomach any better. In fact, it was worse. The next few days passed in a blur of chaos theory. Master Joseph taught Cole and Alex in the mornings, and then let them experiment all afternoon while he taught Tamara, Jasper, and the other students. Cole had to admit that Master Joseph was an exciting teacher. He wanted them to try things, test out new ideas, and he wasn't particularly concerned about risk. Cole learned a lot about chaos, learned to hold it in his hand, to mold it and shape it. He learned to bring chaos creatures through from the void and to keep them with him all day, dark shapes that whisked around his legs and worried havoc. He learned to look into the void itself. A place of shadows, where the longer he looked, the more the shadows seemed to be just the opposite, made of all colors at once, swirling in Cole's eyes. At night, they ate together. Sometimes Master Joseph cooked. Other times he ordered food, and one of his minions picked it up. That night, they were eating deliciously fried chicken with lots of sides. Cole gnawed on a bone thoughtfully. Evil definitely had superior culinary arts on its side.
"Tomorrow," Master Joseph said, "I am going to be gone all day. So I'd like you two, Cole and Alex, to concentrate on your experiments. Jasper and Tamara, I will give you some exercises."
Tamara met Cole's gaze from across the table, but he could no longer read her looks. She probably meant, "Good, Master Joseph is going to be gone, so we should search the house." But he wanted her to mean, "Good, he's going to be gone, so we can sneak off and be alone together." They hadn't kissed since that one time in Jericho's room, and Cole was starting to feel a little crazy.
"She liked someone else," Jasper had said. "If she sucked face with you, it was probably because she didn't want to die alone."
His words haunted Cole. Did he really need to stop thinking about tomorrow when their escape and lives were on the line? Probably. Jasper was winking and mouthing something across the table.
"After dinner," he said silently, "in my room."
Alex looked over at them lazily. Cole could never tell how much attention Alex was paying to anything they did. He seemed to have his own stuff going on, which involved locking himself in his room, which was at the other end of the house, blasting heavy metal, and collecting designer sweaters with skulls on them. After dinner, Cole and Tamara crowded into Jasper's room. Most of the various stuffed and toy horses had been shoved under the bed, and the room looked strangely bare.
"What's going on, Jasper?"
Tamara asked, hands on her hips. She was wearing a pastel blue dress and her hair was down, rippling over her shoulders.
"Tomorrow," Jasper said. "We have to get away for at least a few hours in the afternoon. We need to distract Alex and maybe Hugo."
"Why?" said Cole.
"Because there's something we need to look at," Jasper said. "Master Joseph comes in and out of here on elementals, but they don't land near the house. I saw one landing the other night, and I followed it to see where it came down."
"You did?"
Tamara was incredulous.
"Why didn't you bring us with you?"
"A lone wolf hunts alone," said Jasper. "Besides, I wasn't expecting it, and I didn't have time to get you. Anyway, I didn't find the elemental. I found something else.
What? Call asked. But Jasper just shook his head. He looked troubled.
You'll have to see it yourselves. I don't want to talk about it here.
No matter how much they pressed him, he wouldn't say anything more. But he made them promise to get out of whatever they were doing and meet him outside the next day, before lunchtime, by the path where they walked Havoc.
We should bring Havoc, too, said Call. He can be a cover story in case anyone asks us what we're doing outside.
Tamara frowned.
Do you think you can get away from Alex?
Call nodded.
No problem, he said,
though he doubted it would, in fact, be no problem.
Okay, I'm going to bed then, Tamara said.
I'm worn out.
She headed toward the door, then paused, turned around, and kissed Call on the mouth.
Good night,
she said, a little shyly, and practically skipped out of the room.
Jasper stared.
Holy moly,
he said after the door shut behind Tamara. Call didn't say anything. He was stunned and silent. Call cleared his throat. All his nerve endings felt exposed.
Now you know why I need advice.
Jasper chuckled to himself.
You got problems, he said. I feel bad for you, son.
Get out, Jasper, Call said in exasperation. You're not helping.
It's my room,
Jasper pointed out. Call had to admit this was true. He went back to his own room and lay awake most of the night, dreaming sometimes that Aaron was dead at his feet again, and sometimes that Aaron was alive, and he and Tamara were walking away from Call and never coming back. The next day dawned, and, as luck would have it, was overcast, with rain threatening all morning. Alex appeared to be in a particularly foul mood. Call frowned at him as they tried, unsuccessfully, to come up with any new ideas for raising a stoat that wasn't either chaos-ridden or about to explode. Call saw an opportunity for getting away from him. If Call could just use his superpower of being annoying, Alex would probably storm off on his own. The first thing Call did was start to hum, off-key, to himself, as he looked through the alchemy books Master Joseph put together for them. Alex glared. Then, Call picked up a historical book about a macar called Vincent of Maastricht, one of the few not relegated to the basement, and began reading aloud. Little is known of the methods Vincent undertook to secure the bodies for his experiments, but it is believed.
Are we going to get back to work?
Alex interrupted. Call pretended not to hear him until Alex jerked the book away from Call. Then he looked up nonchalantly. Huh?
I said,
Alex stated, clearly trying his most evil, overlordy look on Call,
that we had better get back to work.
Call yawned exaggeratedly.
I am working. I'm thinking big thoughts.
After all, I'm Constantine Madden. If anyone is going to figure out how to raise the dead, it's going to be me.
You?
Alex took the bait, his voice withering.
All you want to do is boring stuff. We could be making more chaos-ridden. We could be trying to bring people back from the dead instead of stoats. We could even try to shape flesh and make something wholly chaos-born. Constantine Madden wouldn't sit around all day doing nothing. It's dull, and so are you.
Go eat a dirty sock,
Call told him, feeling a little weird about the insult after he spat it out.
You don't know what Constantine would do.
I know what he should do,
Alex said, and turned his back on Call, stalking off. That was ominous enough to worry Call, but he didn't have time to worry about it. Instead, he had to meet Jasper and Tamara. It looked like he'd managed to get the afternoon free. He just wasn't entirely sure what it was going to cost him.
Tamara and Jasper were waiting for him, looking out at the water from the yard. As he walked toward them, they abruptly broke off their conversation, and Cole had the uncomfortable feeling that they'd been discussing him. He bet Jasper had a lot to say about her kissing him, and none of it was good.
You sure Alex isn't following you?
Jasper asked as Havoc danced over to Cole, jumping up to press his paws against Cole's chest. Cole looked nervously over his shoulder.
I don't think so.
Let's go, Tamara said, before someone spots us.
Jasper was looking anxious as they cut through the woods. He was so keyed up that when Havoc nipped lazily at a butterfly, Jasper startled.
Over here, he said, leading them through a copse of trees. On the other side was what appeared to be an old quarry. It was carved out of the rocks, with water welling up from the bottom, as though someone had managed to drill through the base of the island and the sea was rising from underneath.
What were they quarrying? Tamara asked.
Then, squinting, she answered her own question.
Looks like granite.
There's a path down the side,
Jasper said, pointing to an area that ramped down. It was wide enough for a vehicle to drive on, but it was steep enough that Call found himself afraid he would stumble and roll all the way to the bottom. He clung onto branches he passed.
We really have to go down there? Call asked. Can't you just tell us?
Jasper shook his head grimly.
No. You have to see it.
It took them a little while to get all the way to the water. Tamara took Call's hand and helped him along, which was nice, and also kind of embarrassing. She knew about his leg and had kissed him anyway, so that must not bother her. But he wasn't so sure that it didn't bother him. Of course, he wasn't entirely sure what all the kissing meant. Jasper had been so sure that she didn't like him, and Anastasia so sure she did. But then she'd kissed him in front of Jasper, so that had to count for something. He had to say something. He wasn't sure when they would be alone next. He said, because his conversational skills were amazing. Tamara looked his way, clearly waiting for him to talk. He tried to remember Jasper's tips about making girls like him, but all he could recall was that he wasn't supposed to blink, and since Tamara was walking next to him, he wasn't even sure she could tell.
Are we going out?
He finally blurted. When she didn't immediately answer, he kept going.
Am I your boyfriend?
Then he realized he was going to have to get his hand away from her because it was getting sweaty, and as the silence stretched on, he started thinking rolling down the hill might not be the worst thing. At least it would mean the subject was automatically changed.
Do you want to be my boyfriend?
Tamara asked finally, looking sideways at him through her long, dark lashes. At least this wouldn't be the first time he'd made a fool of himself in front of her.
Yeah,
he said.
Okay,
she said, giving him a brilliant smile.
I'll be your girlfriend.
In her answer, he heard what he was supposed to have said.
Will you be my girlfriend?
But she didn't seem annoyed with him. She squeezed his hand and made him feel, for a moment, like good things were possible, even for him.
You're wrong,
He wanted to shout at Jasper, "She likes me after all, not Aaron, me!"
The path ended, leveling out into a sandy beach where the water lapped against uneven small clumps of granite. It was pretty, or would have been, Cole thought, until he saw what was under the water. At first, they seemed like rocks, like the shallow bottom of the quarry, except for the dark depths between them. No, what he was looking at were heads. Hair rippling in the current like duckweed. Hundreds, no, thousands, of chaos-ridden bodies. All of them standing in neat rows, waiting for the summons that would bring them to battle. Cole stopped, jerking Tamara to a stop beside him. They released each other's hands and stared. Jasper was already standing by the edge of the water, pointing down. The wind blew Cole's hair into his face. He pushed it back with his hand. He couldn't stop staring.
"So many," Tamara whispered. "How... Alex didn't make all these?"
"No."
Jasper was still staring at the water.
"Now you know why I wanted you to see it yourselves."
"Constantine made these," said Cole. "I know it."
He couldn't explain quite how he knew it. He had no memories of Constantine's life, but he'd been reading what Jericho had to say about his brother, and he had his own feelings.
He knew.
"All this time, we thought there were only the chaos-ridden we've seen," Tamara said, a worried hitch in her voice. "But there are so many more."
"Everyone said most of them were destroyed in the Mage War," said Jasper.
"I'm sure most of the ones in the battle were destroyed," said Cole. "But there would have been more. Constantine was careful. He wanted an army big enough to march on the Magisterium, the Collegium, the Assembly, everything."
"We have to destroy them," said Tamara, her voice stronger now. "If we all used elemental fire... But no, we can't burn them underwater. Maybe we could make a bomb."
Cole felt a rush of affection for Tamara. She did not think small.
"Or Cole could order them to destroy themselves," said Jasper.
"If they're really mine, Constantine's," Cole said, assailed by sudden doubt. He turned back toward the water. The chaos-ridden were still, like trees that had grown up under the water of the quarry. As if they had been there when the quarry flooded, and had never moved, like those towns that were drowned underwater when reservoirs were built. Cole held out his hand, palm out.
"Chaos-ridden," he called. "Rise! Come to the one who made you!" Silence. The cold wind blew.
Cole was starting to think he had gotten it wrong, when the surface of the water began to ripple and darken. They were moving. The chaos-ridden were moving under the surface. Jasper yelled as a head popped out of the water near his feet. It was a man, his face slack with water, eyes wide and blind. He started to turn toward Cole. Tamara caught Cole's arm.
"Not now," she said. "Make them go back under."
Cole stared into the blank eyes of the chaos-ridden.
"What are your orders?"
he asked. When the chaos-ridden replied, Cole knew that Tamara and Jasper would only hear senseless grunts and groans. But he heard words. The language he shared with the dead, that no one else could speak.
"Rise up," said the chaos-ridden. "Destroy."
"Call," Tamara said.
He turned toward her. "They're dangerous."
"I know," she said. "Now make them go back under."
"The time is not now," Call told them. "Return to the water and wait."
As one, the chaos-ridden disappeared underneath the surface again. Call's mind raced. He could order them to destroy one another. He could maybe even send them all back into the void if he opened a gateway. But with all of them, he could bring down Master Joseph's house, tear it to the studs. He could destroy Alex and Master Joseph both. Maybe that's what Tamara was thinking, too. There was just one problem. Aaron.
"We've got to warn someone," Jasper was saying. "We've got to leave."
"Can you command all those chaos-ridden?"
Tamara asked. Call nodded, but he felt sick at heart.
"Good,"
she said, planning as they walked back to the house.
"We're leaving tonight, and we're going to take Master Joseph's army with us. That's how you're going to redeem your name, Call. No one can doubt you if you deliver victory to the Assembly."
For a moment, Call was drawn into imagining himself heroically ahead of an army of chaos-ridden, an army he had commanded to kneel down before the Assembly. Maybe they really would take him back. Maybe he really would be forgiven. But if they left tonight, they would be leaving Aaron behind. And while Call had learned a lot about chaos magic and a lot about filling souls with chaos, he hadn't figured out how to raise Aaron from the dead. And once they escaped the island, there would be no way to bring Aaron back. Unless Call did it tonight. It was even easier to slip away from Tamara and Jasper than it had been to get away from Alex. Call just said he'd be in trouble if he didn't go, and neither Tamara nor Jasper questioned him. Once alone, Call grabbed Jericho's diary and went down to the parlor to read. Before, he had flipped through it in search of experiments and secrets. But now, he read with a burning intensity. If Jericho knew anything that might give Call a clue as to how to bring Aaron back, then he needed to find it. As the pages flipped by, a sense of dread filled him. Then Call came to an entry that made his blood run cold. "There is no one I can tell how I feel, but each day I get more tired and more afraid for the future. When I first became Constantine's counterweight, it seemed to be such an honor to keep my older brother safe. But neither of us really understood what a counterweight could do. But then Constantine learned how to draw on my soul regularly without compromising his own. He drains me nearly to death, again and again. He gives me back only a little of my own strength, barely enough to be conscious, and far too little to do any magic of my own. I fear my soul will be all used up before he notices. He wasn't always like this, but he changed so much in the last year that I feel like I don't know him. I am so afraid, and no one believes me. So taken are they all by Constantine's charm." Call flipped a few more pages. "I hate everything about bringing animals for Constantine's experiments, but bringing him human bodies from hospitals is worse." Call turned the page with reluctance. It was like reading a horror novel, but scarier. A horror novel about yourself. "I'm not Constantine," he told himself. But it was harder now. Anastasia thought he was Constantine. Master Joseph did, too. The only person who truly didn't was Tamara. She believed he was Call, a whole person on his own. Aaron had believed in him, too.
And look where that had gotten him.
Something awful has happened. I was too tired to bring a body back for Constantine from the graveyard, so he summoned an air elemental and flew us to the hospital. We landed on the helicopter pad, and he laughed about that. He helped me down the stairs, and for a minute, it was like he was back to being the brother I remembered, the one who took care of me. I asked why he'd brought me with him, and he said he just wanted us to have a good time together. We went right past the morgue, and down the hall into the ICU. He used air magic to disguise our presence from the nurses. It was creepy, being among all those sick people who didn't know we were there. We went into one room, where an old woman was lying with her eyes closed and a tube down her throat. Khan's eyes were shining. I figured out what he wanted to do, but it was already too late. Khan, she's not dead. Maybe that's the key, though, he said. She's nearly dead. Maybe you need to put the chaos in while there's still a spark of life. You have to leave her alone, I said. She's alive. I kept saying it over and over as he pushed me aside and reached his hand out for her. Dark chaos spilled from his fingers. I saw the woman's body jerk and tremble. I felt something pinch inside my chest. I gasped and fell to my knees just as the old woman opened her eyes. They were blank, but swirling with colors, like the eyes of chaos-ridden animals. They fixed on me, and somehow I thought she recognized me. Jericho, her eyes were saying, Jericho. Constantine wasn't relying on me just for energy, I realized. He was using pieces of my soul, using them as if they were batteries, shoving them into the chaos written into this woman, like an electrical shock that would bring her back to life. I didn't see the woman die. I could hear Khan exclaiming in annoyance that she was gone. Another failed experiment. All I could do was wonder how much of my soul was left now that my brother had shredded it. Cole put the book down. He was breathing so hard he was lightheaded. The words on the page were like a slap in the face. He had known Constantine Madden as the enemy of death, the cause of his mother's demise, the monster who the Assembly would rather keep their truce with for fear of starting the war over again. But still, this was horrifying in a wholly different way. It was personal. What he'd done to his brother, ripping pieces off his soul. Constantine hadn't done it to save someone he loved. He hadn't killed that woman in desperation. He'd done it as an experiment. Just because he was curious. And cruel. Constantine Madden hadn't been driven to making terrible choices by grief. He'd been making terrible choices way before his brother died. And while Master Joseph might have pushed him into it in the beginning, he'd clearly taken to evil, like a duck to water. Cole put down the diary and went to the window, looking out at the afternoon sunlight, dappling the grass. He was afraid he was going to throw up. He felt like a storm was in his head. But after a few moments, he felt steadier, and then a few minutes after that, something new occurred to him. For years, Cole had been afraid that he was too sarcastic, too mean-spirited, too willing to cut corners. He'd imagined a straight line from accruing too many evil overlord points by not taking out the trash and eating the last slice of pizza to leading an army of the chaos-ridden. But Cole knew he would never do what Constantine had done to Jericho, never steal pieces of the soul of someone he loved. He knew that he would never murder someone for no reason,
if that was what evil was, he wasn't going to wind up that way by accident. Maybe he should stop worrying that he was becoming Constantine Madden